Neffendorf?
Here.
Mr.
Me? I'm here.
See you there, Mr. Taggart. Tom, you there?
Doesn't sound like it.
He was earlier.
Let me look through the list. Yeah, he's listed here. He's just muted.
We'll come back. Umberto.
I'm here, guys.
Great. Tim Sanford?
Yeah. Here.
Great. Mike Taylor?
Here.
Right, and Mayor Urbanovsky, I don't believe he's been able to join us.
Okay.
All right, do you have quorum? Tom Taggart? I see you were there earlier. I see your name.
I am here.
There you are. Great.
There he is. I'm between two rooms, two meetings, two computers. All right, Mayor, we'll do our best. Hopefully you get to see most of it. All right, C, public comment period. If there's anyone wishing to speak during public comment, we just ask that you maintain and keep your comments to 2 minutes. Is there anybody wishing to speak? All right, hearing none, I'm going to move to item number D, the consent agenda.
Mr. Chairman, this is Mike Taylor. I move to approve the minutes with one slight amendment in the under future agenda items. There was a leftover comment from a previous set of minutes, and Graham's going to strike those comments.
Okay. So move to approve the amended minutes.
Mr. Ramos, a second.
All right. Been moved and seconded. Any discussion? All in favor say aye.
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 All opposed? Motion passes. Item number F1, update and possible direction to staff regarding the authority's Phase 1A project. Jason Beamer.
Good afternoon, everyone. So the two big things that we have right now is the Segment B pipeline and the pump station closeout documents have been submitted to the Water Development Board. So we're just waiting on their final approval, and then we can release the final retainages. And starting tomorrow, we're going to do some testing with the BUTA team to walk through the delivery process, test out those valves, make sure that we're seeing the flow rates that we want, and then get the opportunity to test some of the SCADA control systems that should modulate that flow and start that process of dialing that in and working through those exercises. That's all I've really got, but I'm happy to answer any questions.
I'm not hearing any. I needed to pause for a second. So I clicked on the chat message from Jane Houston, and I cannot figure out how to get back to the actual meeting itself. Wait, if I close this, maybe I just click on that screen. Okay. So I think I got two screens open now is what has happened. Okay. I'm back where I can see it.
Okay.
Yeah, sorry about that.
Exit there.
Well, I'm afraid now if I close that other one, it may kick me out of this. So whatever, I'll deal with that later. All right, it doesn't sound like we have any questions for Beamer. So moving us to item number F2, which is update on the Phase 1B by Ryan.
Hey, good afternoon, everyone.
Afternoon, Ryan.
Is that okay?
Yep. Very good. So a few things to go over. We'll have a commissioning update presentation after this that Nathan will go over with everyone. So I'm just giving a general update on a handful of items here for Phase 1B. As far as some general milestones, some items to make you aware of, starting with design submittals, here in April, we've just received the 90% submittal for pipeline segment C. And here within the next couple of weeks, anticipate receiving the 90% for segment E. So of the two remaining pipelines and in the midst of the design process. Those are our last couple of segments there, and we're getting towards the end as indicated. Switching over to the Water Development Board, we of course just completed the review process for the water treatment plant and raw water infrastructure with the Water Development Board, and we're actively in procurement. So I'll touch on that here in a moment. But with that process behind us, actively working with the board on pipeline segment A, they are hopefully on the verge of wrapping up their review of the environmental report. That's taken a bit longer than we had hoped and anticipated, but it sounds like they're completing their review, if not late this week, early next week. So anxiously awaiting that. We've also submitted the final documents, the final design documents for segment A at the same time. So those are currently under review and hoping that they can make up some time there with that review, given the time it's taken for environmental, the preliminary environmental to get completed. So with that in mind, we've been checking in with them weekly at this point, if not more frequently than that, just trying to keep apprised of where they're at and make sure they don't have questions for us to help them move along in the process. The booster pump station final documents have recently been submitted to them as well, so that's in their queue also. So with that, definitely for the time being, the main focus is with so many of these projects nearing design completion, just trying to keep the board focused on completing their reviews so that we can then move forward in the process to get these projects out on the street. The water treatment plant, as I mentioned, and that was brought up at the last board meeting, that is currently advertising for competitive sealed proposals. Actually, the pre-proposal meeting was held last Tuesday, April 6th. There were a fair amount of contractors in attendance, so that was certainly encouraging. This was, of course, a virtual meeting. Been actively working through Addenda, the design consultant program, and of course, Graham and Jason, and proposals are due May 4th. And the plan as it stands right now will be to get the review process done of those proposals and hope to be able to come to the board at the end of May with a recommendation for consideration. So we'll keep you apprised of that as that moves forward.
Well, before you go on, Ryan.
Sure.
You know, may the fourth be with you, I suppose. But we just got bids in on a project. It's not obviously water or wastewater related, but still a project. And they came in 30% over our expected engineering costs. So be prepared. You might get some significant sticker shock. You might need to be doing some value engineering or something to that effect too.
Understood, James. Yeah, no, that, in fact, I was going to touch a little bit in the budget update at the end of this. Certainly materials, the materials market continues to be heavy in fluctuation. And so that's certainly a trend we've been tracking. But we've also seen some other recent bids for somewhat similar projects that have generally been encouraging. So to your point, it's kind of been a mixed bag. So certainly understand we'll hope for the best, but certainly plan accordingly if we don't see the numbers we're hoping for. Is there another hand raise?
Yeah, I just had one question. When you said a fair amount of contractors, I wanted to understand how many that is.
Sure. Graham, if you have a different count than mine, I think I counted at least approaching 10. And keep in mind, this is for the water treatment plant, so, you know, pretty significant facility, obviously. I counted at least 10 that I view as general contractors that do this sort of work. You know, obviously, given the magnitude of it, don't know for certain how many of them are looking to go in as a GC, but saw at least that many that I know do this sort of work regularly. Graham, any different counts on your side of it, or Jason for that matter?
No, that's exactly what I saw, Ryan. We did not ask them to sign in as a general or a supplier or a potential sub. So going based off of the names that we saw and recognized, I had 10 as my count as well, Ryan.
Okay.
Thank you. That was a good response.
Yep. So moving on to easement acquisition status, we've reformatted this table and appreciate the feedback we've received from the committee and the board and others in trying to hopefully lay out these updates in a way that's a little easier to follow or at least a little more informative, if nothing else. I'll maybe start by saying if, as always, the projects themselves, the different pipelines are identified over in the far left column. And then adjacent to that, just to the right, is the number of parcels where we are pursuing easements. If you go all the way over to the right side to columns F and G, that basically tells you of those parcels, how many are still needed versus how many have been acquired. So, for instance, for segment A, there are 39 parcels and 26 we have obtained a possession on at this point, 13 still lacking possession. So then columns A through E basically reflect where it's at in the acquisition process or if it's into condemnation. So There's a fair amount going on there, but hopefully that, you know, if all you want to know is how many we lack and how many we have, you know, you can get there pretty quickly, hopefully, just by looking over to the right side. All that being said, I'll maybe give a brief update on each of these segments and certainly can pause there for any questions, as always. Make sure the information as conveyed is clear. So segment A, we're basically down to the point where we have nearly all hearings at this point are scheduled that remain. All parcels that remain are in condemnation. And of those, all are scheduled, or at least one or two that may still be tentatively scheduled, but they're on the calendar at the very least. So we're in line with schedule at this point, just awaiting those hearings to be held. There's been approximately 10 hearings held to date on segment A, and some of those have actually been settled just before hearings. So we're seeing a lot more of that activity now that special counsel is starting to get more of these hearings scheduled and held, and obviously a lot of the coordination with the landowner's attorney. So certainly from week to week, there's a lot more activity going on as more of these are proceeding. Segment B, similarly, there have been several hearings scheduled to date. There's not much left in acquisition, as you can see here. In fact, one of the two parcels that's still in the negotiation phase, the land agent just received the signed agreement. So there's very little left in segment B, with the exception, of course, of the significant amount in condemnation. So special counsel has the majority of those on the calendar at this point and are actively scheduling the rest. Segment D, falling right behind B, where there's a bit more going on in negotiation right now, but also what remains, you know, there's still, as indicated here, 25 in condemnation. Anticipate some of those that are still being negotiated to end up over in condemnation ultimately, but just continue in the process. And then segment C is the furthest out. Last month, the appraiser was catching up on appraisals. They've, in the last month, come back with, I believe, 20 appraisals that were submitted in the last 30 days. So the land agents have been able to get out quite a bit more in the way of offers, and and anticipate the appraiser will get much of the rest of these completed in the coming few weeks, probably. And then lastly, segment E, there are still some offers that have not yet been sent. And a lot of that on segment E has been tied up on a handful of properties where we're working with landowners and or developers to work out and come to at least a tentative agreement on potential alignments. So there's a bit of that work still being done there, but otherwise we're a majority of the way through the acquisition and negotiation process. With that, I'll be happy to take any questions.
I do have a question. Unless my math is wrong, I guess we've got 97 total condemnations in process. And out of 283, total parcels. So I believe we made an estimate early on when we first approached, this process of what number we thought we would have in condemnation. And I just wondered what that ratio is looking like versus that original thinking. I think we're probably well over that number, but just wanted to confirm that.
Yep. Good question, Tom. The original projection was on the order of 15% to 20%, and obviously what we're looking at right now is roughly a third and potentially a bit more than that. So yes, we are projecting well ahead of that. Certainly hopeful, with the momentum we're seeing with special counsel and being able to start getting some agreements in place prior to hearings, that we might see a little bit of a domino effect, because we are dealing with the same attorney on several of these parcels. So hopeful that some of that can avoid the full process and be worked out in agreements prior to hearings. We've seen a little bit of that so far, but to your point, yes, as it stands right now, we're definitely projecting higher than originally anticipated.
Thank you.
No other questions. Going on to the well drilling construction, last month's update. This month's update isn't too much different than last month's in that they generally are approaching the end of the process. The wells are all largely completed. Well sites 8 and 9, they're at this point finalizing them out and pouring the concrete pads around the wells and casing. And so we're just about on the order of completing those two well sites. 6 and 7, the contractor has been continuing to work on removing debris and pumping water and trying to get to the minimum efficiency specified in the contract documents. They're not quite there at this point, despite spending a few weeks in that process. R.W. Harden, the consultant, is coordinating with the contractor currently to see what else can be done. It might just, might just be that they just need to spend some more time flushing water, removing debris, and working on those wells to get them to that point. But they're also looking at other options for, just other items they can consider for trying to get to that minimum efficiency point of 70%. So right now, I believe at both of those wells, they're in the mid, low to mid 60s. So that's really the last thing. Yes.
Ryan, if I might, I just got an update just before this meeting from Jim Tolles. It appears that well number 7 now has an efficiency of 75%. So they took that today. So it's just above the minimum required. They will take another sample tomorrow to verify that. And then well number 6, they moved in some sort of a special rig that isolates the screened area in sections and allows them to jet just those areas so they can concentrate that effort to clean that up a little bit better. So they're assembling that now, and I believe they expect to be able to do that work next week and clean that well up next week. So looks like 7. They'll prove it again tomorrow, but maybe that one is going to meet the minimum efficiencies now, and then the focus will shift to number 6 to complete that effort. So, sorry, Ryan, hadn't had a chance to tell you about that, but that just came in before our meeting.
And Ryan, I muted you because you were rebroadcasting Graham. So
no problem. Sorry about that. Thank you.
No worries.
Yeah, no, thanks for that update, Graham. Hot off the press there. So that's certainly good news. And the overall contract is to be completed by late June. So we're certainly not up against anything at this point contractually on the schedule. So given that news, there certainly appears that knock on wood, we'll see that come to a conclusion here soon.
This is Mr. Ramos. I have a question. Maybe Graham, since we're talking about whales, maybe Graham, you can help with this question I have. Based on the winter storm that we had, I know we're doing the whales. Should we consider, or should there be some discussion as to possibly housing those whales or putting a structure over them so that way, you know, in the event that we go through this event again, that it doesn't impact our whales? Because Canyon Region, we had some whales go down because of ice and snow and water and, you know, when can we have those discussions?
Sure. I would suggest that we come back next month, and Jason's been putting together a weatherization presentation as to how we intend to deal with all different types of weather events, not just cold weather, but also thunderstorms, hot weather events, hurricanes, all of the sorts. So we'll bring that back to the technical committee in May to have discussions on what the protocols we intend to set out are. And I think that'd be a good time to discuss that.
All right. Thank you, Graham.
Graham, this is Mike Taylor. Is this also going to be part of what we have to put together for our risk and resiliency program?
I think it will dovetail into that. Part of what Jason covers is cyber attacks and other impacts like that, too. So, yeah, I think it all dovetails together, Mike. And so we wanted to kind of lay out for you what the intended protocols are. And I know we've had conversation with several of you about what you experienced in February. And so we're trying to take the best lessons learned from everyone and move forward the best we can.
Yeah, it's time well spent because we're going to have to do that anyway to submit our risk and resiliency plan.
Okay. Lastly, for the update, the budget update for this month, a couple things to note on the format. We changed up a couple of things here. Probably doesn't look too much different than what you're accustomed to seeing, but the column of the original Alliance total projected cost going back to the original projection back in February 2018, we did some tweaks to some of those numbers to align with the, I guess, basically the current funding through the SWIFT program, that just over $240 million you see there. Previously, that was around approximately $248 million. So a bit of a reduction there to account for some additional cost reduction measures that we had looked at going back more than a year now, as we were wrapping up that original cost projection and cost reduction effort. So just one thing to make you aware of. The other is the contingencies that were shown at the very bottom. We've taken those couple of rows out as well. And so this is basically the projected costs and then current projections based, you know, solely on the costs without contingency factored in, just for comparison. So as far as updates from last month, just a couple of project updates that have come in. GBRA and their consultants have been working on their designs of their couple of meter stations for the NBU delivery point and the Lockhart delivery point. And we received a cost projection update from them that's reflected there in the highlighted in blue number there towards the top, the 12.2 million. That was a little bit of a drop versus the prior projection that we were holding in the budget. The second being Pipeline Segment D. We received their 100% submittal. Their cost projection went up on the order of about $1 million. One of the main things they cited, which you've heard from me on a couple of these previously, is some of the material cost increases that they're getting wind of in the market as they're preparing their cost projection. So a bit of an increase there. Probably, I believe it was back in the November, December timeframe that our updated total was probably right around the original projection, maybe in the high 240s, and we've gone up a few million since then as we've gotten more current cost projections in. And that's been the primary item that we've heard back from the design consultants as they're checking with contractors, checking with the equipment vendors, is a material cost and a certain amount of uncertainty there on that and the impact there. So not dramatic changes, but just to keep you apprised of one theme that keeps coming up. Obviously with the water treatment plant proposals coming in the next few weeks, that will give us a pretty good indicator of where things stand, and hopefully we'll obviously hope for some good news there and continue forward. With that, happy to take any additional questions. Okay, thank you.
I guess that's my cue to move on then, since nobody's asking any questions. All right. Brian, appreciate your update. That brings us to item number F3, discussion and possible direction to staff regarding commissioning of the Phase 1B program. Nathan Cobbler with Kimley Horn.
Good afternoon, everyone. Hope you like the new PowerPoint template we've pulled together, kind of a refresher as we've progressed through this project each year. Next slide, please. So today we're going to kind of do a recap of the commissioning phasing from what we've kind of discussed previously, talk about some new items that we've identified during the commission phasing, talk more about the schedule as we're getting closer to construction on some of these projects, seeing how each of the commissioning schedules are going to line up based on how we're progressing each of the projects, and then discuss some of the next steps. Next slide, please. So as a recap for commissioning, when we're talking about commissioning, we're talking about cleaning the lines, preparing them for disinfection, and ultimately using them for distribution of the water. Each of these projects are being bid independently. And so, you know, our task is to look at the overall development of trying to commission the whole system based on a primary source, that being the City of San Marcos Water Treatment Plant, which is identified by the circle on the left side of the screen. Next slide, please. Here is an example from previous slideshow that we've presented on as far as some of the commissioning phasing that we've developed. This one in particular shows phase 7. We chose phase 7 because it kind of showed the point which all of the combined infrastructure will be operational. Of course, minus segment C, which is identified in green to the north, as being alliance only. But this kind of just showed the progress of each of the lines being commissioned and allowing the water to kind of continue through the system. Next slide, please. A little refresher on our thought process on how the schedules have been developed and based on a point source of water for this project, kind of broken this into a couple different corridors. This current one, or this first one that we show here on the screen, is the east to west corridor. This corridor captures a couple different segments, segments B and segment E, and a little portion of D. And in doing so, this is kind of the first steps for commissioning the project. With the water treatment plant to the left of the screen on the west side of the project is San Marcos, and that's providing the water to help commission this project. So therefore, B2, which is the segment in orange to the left of the purple square, which is Booster Pump Station, would then tie into a portion of D that's being built that ties back to the Booster Pump Station. Then water could be moved to both B1 and A, which is continuing east, orange and yellow, respectively. Next slide, please. Kind of the next corridor after those lines have been commissioned is the central to south corridor. And this identifies a couple additional segments, including D and E. And so as we've discussed before, the water coming from San Marcos Water Treatment Plant through B2, then to the Booster Pump Station, and then south along segments D and E, and ultimately to the segment E, Canyon Regional Water Authority Delivery Point at Lake Dunlap. Next slide, please. And the last kind of corridor that we've identified for this project for commissioning is the central to north corridor that encompasses segment C. At this point, the rest of the infrastructure has been commissioned. It's identified that the water treatment plant for Alliance Regional Water Authority would be commissioned as well. And therefore, water could be pushed from in a normal operational manner from the east side of the project, water treatment plant, through A and B1, the Booster Pump Station, as a normal operation would occur. That water would then be able to use to commission segment C, which has a main trunk line area, followed by a couple branches to the various delivery points for that segment. Next slide, please. So a little bit of a new information is talking about the analysis. And so what we've done is to best understand when commissioning would occur for each of these projects was to line them up, bar graph, simple format, and just try to see where the critical path was. And looking at when the timing of each of these construction projects would occur for commissioning, based on coordination with contractors, based on coordination with design consultants as well, to help us understand what's an efficient way of using resources to commission these projects in one in a timely manner, but also to minimize waste. Next slide, please. So this slide is the same as the one before, but we identified some key features. Reviewing the schedules, we identified segment D as being critical, and I'll explain a little more in the next few slides. And that's based on when it's anticipated to be ready for commissioning. And with D being commissioning around May timeframe, that holds the ability for segment E to be commissioned. If you look at it a little harder, you might see that also B1 is a critical piece of infrastructure because it delays when segment A could be commissioned. And so we're looking at that as well for segment A as alternate options, and I'll discuss that farther as well in the slideshows. Additionally, I've added some leaders to kind of point out anticipated month dates for when commissioning would be ready to start up for these projects. And it kind of just points out B2 being really early in the commissioning phasing, followed by the Booster Pump Station and segment A, and how all of that interconnects and provides water for the system. Fortunately for B2, the B1 is also need to be built, so the contractor wouldn't be held with nothing to do as alternates. A does have that opportunity where the contractor could be on pause waiting for a water supply to perform that hydrostatic testing and bacteriological testing as well. Next slide, please. So I kind of hinted at that with the previous slide, but these are some of the dates that we identified for when projects would be available for commissioning. As you note, B2 is slated for September of 2022, but could probably be moved to March as the rest of B1 has to be constructed. So there's an opportunity for B2 to be completed, and then it's just held there until additional facilities are at the same point in time when water can move through B2 into those respectively. The next one in line would be pump station. This pump station is showing December, January timeframe. We believe, based on what we've looked at, a March, April would make sense at this current time based on construction schedules and projection out where we're analyzing the design consultants Similarly with segment A, with construction starting based on advertisement going out in the next month or two, we're projecting that one to be ready for commissioning in February. The advantage of having that one maybe move towards May is that it is in line with B1 being completed. And so water from B2, so the booster pump station, B1 and A, kind of keeps that east-west corridor interconnected and water moving from one segment to the next, trying to minimize waste. And then E1, in similar fashion to B2, is projected to be finished around February of 2023. Fortunately for E1, there is E2 that has to be built. So while E1 is on hold until segment D is operational and ready to commission, E2 is still being constructed, all the same contractor. Next slide, please. So looking at it as far as our thoughts at this current point in time for commissioning the full project, with the information provided before and showing how things have adjusted based on timeframes we anticipate for each of these projects to go through commissioning, this bar chart kind of shows those steps. But, you know, first, of course, is phase one, with B2 being constructed and tested in the March timeframe, booster pump station, and then down the train. And so you can kind of see in the yellow box that segment D was the one that kind of was in the middle of the pack, kind of was our hold as far as when commissioning would start occurring for the rest of the system. So we kind of held that point as the placeholder and then worked backwards and forwards to try our best to line up when the commissioning would occur. I did state that B1 would be ready about early May as well. And so that's kind of how phase three lines up just by the fact of when B1 would be completed in construction. Seeing that C is kind of shaded off and grayed out to the right of the screen, not anticipating starting until end of July, August. That's due to the fact that it's alliance only infrastructure. But additionally, an item that we didn't insert in here is it kind of is occurring in the background of all these phases is the water treatment plant. Right now, the construction schedule for the water treatment plant is showing commissioning to begin in July. And so the thought process is as that's becoming more operational, if it to occur earlier, then the opportunity is we would have two sources of water. Maybe phase six could be supplemented with water treatment plant water from Alliance, as well as segment C. So we'll definitely keep watching this as we progress through watching the design consultants wrap up their projects, moving into construction, coordinating with contractors, looking at how production rates are going. I know we've had a few projects that have had some concerns with materials being readily available at the time of construction, so we're watching that as well. So it's a couple unknowns still trying to track, but ultimately this is an idea of how the commissioning will be completed on the current status of the construction schedule certified at this point in time. Next slide, please. So some additional considerations that we've identified to kind of help with keeping everything in line and matching up for commissioning as best as we can is reviewing the bidding schedule. So we're going to evaluate advertisement dates and just kind of understand how that affects the commissioning schedule. Right now, we're pushing all the design consultants program-wide to wrap up their designs in a timely manner per the agreed-upon contracts. Independent of land, environmental, wrapping up their portion, we just want to make sure the design is complete as they have the necessary items they need to complete that task. That way it's not, or it's independent of those other factors of land and environmental causing delays, but they'll be ready to bid at a moment's notice. So looking at those dates, considering how they will impact commissioning schedule. The next item is construction duration. And so looking at the overall construction for a project and understanding the production rate for those projects as well, something that you're definitely thinking about is the opportunity for a contractor to win multiple segments. It'd be an advantage to have a contractor build segments A and B together. Seeing that they're tied so closely together and commissioning would be advantageous in that sense. That way there wouldn't be a hold or a wait period for one of those projects to finish to allow commissioning to occur. Same thing with D&E. If those two were bid together, a contractor were selected for both those projects, they would be essentially two projects, but one long construction activity that would it wouldn't keep a contractor on hold until water was available, trying to mitigate that. And lastly, I mentioned a few slides before with segment A as far as testing. You know, it's noted that segment A would be wrapped up in February, ahead of B1 being available to provide water. So we're looking at some alternate sources, it's an opportunity to hydrostatic test that line in anticipation of being able to fully commission it at a later date. Those sources include using the raw water from the Alliance wellfield and just doing some sort of piping, above ground piping around the treatment plant to connect to fill for testing. Also, we know in the area is the Aqua Water Supply Corporation. So that's another option. And then another kind of a third one that we looked at, and we know that we're interconnected with the Lockhart delivery point for segment A, is an opportunity to connect and possibly provide some water for the segment A pipeline for that hydrostatic testing to assist. But right now, those are all definitely options. We haven't contacted those individuals for concerns or the possibility to provide water to fill these mains, but there are definitely options that we've have on the board, looking at, reviewing, and we'll coordinate as necessary just to better understand how we can commission if A needs to be completed early. Next slide, please. So wrapping up with next steps, definitely looking at the construction schedules and seeing how that ultimately affects what we're projecting right now as for commissioning. So as each project moves forward, we're able to see and learn if the construction schedule needs to be shortened or maybe it needs to be lengthened depending on impacts and various sources. We're also going to track the construction progress. So once construction starts for a lot of these projects later this year, we'll have actual contractor schedules and seeing when they anticipate being at a point of substantial completion, ready for testing. And we'll line those up in similar fashion and then start. This is the point where we need to get the game plan moving forward and determine what we've identified now, if it's going to work, or we need to create another option for commissioning. And then lastly is still verifying and confirming the source water volume requirements based on our flow rate calculations. And that right there is really dependent on the order of commissioning and how tight each of the projects can be commissioned together. If we have gaps between each project, that's additional water that's going to be flowing through the system that wouldn't be required. So it's a delicate balance of trying to make sure projects commission in an opportune order that allows efficiency over the cross system and minimize waste. So those are some things that we are constantly reviewing, and as more information is made available, it's applied to our analysis, and final results will be once we start commissioning B2. Next slide, please. All right, open for any questions.
I do have a... So I have a couple of questions. I don't know if that noise is someone else trying to speak.
I'm not sure what that was, but why don't you try going ahead, Tom?
So I think that schedule for D with segments A and E1 indicated moving those more toward the summer production periods that tend to have higher flows to our systems. And I mean, it'll be important, I think, to see how that change would affect the water supply availability, because, obviously there's going to be, some variation between doing that in February and doing that in May. So, and I think given this year where we're already, right now we're actually below the single day threshold for stage 2 out of EAA pumping. Now, we're not at the 10-day average yet, but barring any significant rainfall, it looks like we're going to be in stage two very early this year, which is not actually, you know, very well forecasting for summer then. So this year, at least. Now, obviously, we're talking about next year, but my point is we may be, you know, heading into a drier than normal period here, which could affect some of those pumpages. So understanding those relationships, I think, and making sure that you know, we've got some plan A, B, and C, depending on circumstances, I think are really going to be important, especially if we move these more toward, you know, higher demand periods in our systems.
Oh, no, I definitely agree. So that's kind of where D is important on its construction schedule and production-wise. If D can be constructed in a quicker manner, that kind of moves the whole commissioning schedule back months. And definitely keeping that in mind. Right now we're showing to finish early summer, but again, I fully understand living in Texas for 30 plus years, you know, that it's hot, dry, and we can commission earlier in the spring. That's definitely going to be optimal, both on a political frame because of people watching the project as commissioning water and seeing waste, and this will, as well as having source water readily available for commissioning purposes. So I agree.
And I guess my last question, and I think this has probably been calc, and we may have been provided the figure, but I'm just not recalling it. But what volume of water is going to be needed for commissioning in total?
So in total, right now we're projecting just to fill the pipes themselves, it's going to be in the tune of 30 to 40 million gallons. That's just to fill the pipe for hydrostatic testing. You got to push another volume through for chlorination purposes. Some of the mains have to be flushed based on the diameter. So right now we're analyzing it. We are going down in volume as far as the full commissioning portion, but it's dependent on how these projects line up. Originally, we were up in the 190 million gallon range for the full purpose of commissioning it. I think we're down into the 120s. Again, it's as close as we can get projects to commission together. It allows water to move one segment to the next with minimizing discharge. This is, of course, is spread out over 5 months, and trying to just minimize the impact as much as possible. But the diameter of the lines, we've got 90 miles of pipeline. It's a lot of water just in the ground for testing. So.
Understood. Thank you.
Yes, sir.
Umberto, you usually would have questions about this type of stuff, so I want to keep the opportunity. Are y'all able to hear me?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
Yes, it's a little quiet, but we can't hear you.
I wanted to give Umberto an opportunity to ask a question. Normally, he has questions about this type of stuff.
I'm sorry, guys. I hit something by accident. Sorry.
So I guess that's a no from you. Okay, no worries. Well, I guess that's it then. I don't really hear any other discussion or conversation. So, Nathan, thank you. Let's move on to item number F4, which is the legislative issues update. Graham?
Yeah, let me get my slides back up here. Bear with me a second. So session, I'd say, is in full swing, or as full swing as it's going to be this time around. Definitely, you know, we had the end of filing period for new bills was the first week in March or so. Total number of bills are down by about 20%, I believe, from what we've seen over the past few sessions. So a significant drop off, but, you know, frankly, not quite as much of a drop off as I think a lot of people thought might have occurred this year. I've noted here in the packet some of the critical days as we start to move forward. I think I've said this every session, but it's good to keep in mind that the Senate while they have rules, they can suspend those rules at any time. So it's like the Senate has no rules. It's the House that really kind of controls the pace of everything. And so the last day for House bills to come out of committee is May 10th, and then they've got to be through the actual House and over to the Senate by May 13th. So that's really the next critical deadline to know what may make it through the process and what may not. And then for the bills that come from the Senate side back to the House, those have to be out of the House by May 22nd for the, on the first time through. And then sine die, the last day of session is May 31st this year. The other thing I think to keep in mind is that there will be at least one special session, if not multiple, because of redistricting. They are very late in getting all the data back on voting, et cetera, so they can't start their maps, which is usually what they're doing at this point in time. So they'll be doing that this summer, and that's a required special session. So we know they're going to be back in session for at least that topic. Of course, the governor can call them back for anything else. So even though we're thinking we're about 6 weeks from being done with session, they'll be back again this summer to at least take care of redistricting, if not other things as well. So just something to keep in mind. A couple updates on, I think, kind of critical bills to us. House Bill 2863, which Representative Kimpel filed for us, would allow us to do ASR in the saline zone of the EAA. The Natural Resources Committee held a hearing on that bill yesterday. I went up and testified in support of it. The only other testimony offered was by Roland Ruiz, the general manager of the EAA district. He was neither in favor of nor against the bill. He was just kind of giving some background facts on the work they did with NBU last session to get the bill drafted. I think, speaking frankly, EAA's preference would be that we would know exactly where we want to do an ASR, what the size of it would be, the volumes, all those types of parameters prior to trying to get this legislative change. I think our approach is let's get the legislative change before we spend the capital to determine all those types of things and determine whether it's worthwhile or not. So they're not against ASR. They're generally supportive of it. I think they are generally supportive of our efforts. But, I think anytime their legislation gets opened up, they certainly are a little bit concerned about what that may mean moving forward. So otherwise, there were no other questions asked by any of the Natural Resources members, like they do for all their bills. After the first reading of it, they left it pending. And so we should know more next week when they meet again if they move that forward to the House. And we're hopeful that they'll even put that on local and consent calendar. Let's see. Hit a couple other bills here while we're talking. House Bill 4146 by Chairman King, and there's a Senate Bill 1747 that's companion by Zaffirini, would restrict TCEQ from issuing discharge permits into streams that have phosphorus levels greater than 0.06 milligrams per liter, so kind of pristine waters. Notably, cities and river authorities are expressly excluded from that prohibition. So they're allowed to have permits and discharge permits into those areas. Really what they're trying to do is stop, I think, more of the smaller package type plants discharging into these waters. They're worried about quality concerns and upsets of those plants and that type of thing. The hearing was held on Monday in the House Environmental Regulation Committee on that. There's a number of people that signed up to speak and a whole lot larger group that was signed in favor of the bill. We're still trying to determine exactly all of the string segments that are impacted by this. This is a statewide bill. It does not only impact the Hill Country, although it really originated to protect the Hill Country area. And so based on some initial data that we've been able to pull and look like, it appears that the San Marcos River would not be affected by this, but we're still trying to clarify that and seek guidance on that. The other option that is being discussed, I think, by several entities is adding to the exclusions to conservation reclamation districts, which is what we are. I think we would have a good statement to make in that front, and that we have we're looking at land, doing a regional wastewater plant, at least studying it, combining the flows of multiple entities, including multiple municipalities to do that. So I think that's another option we're going to look at if we need to modify that bill so that we're protected on that item. And then I think the only other bill I was going to hit today is, again, the Senate Bill 307, which we had pointed out several months ago when I filed by Eckhart. It's been referred to committee, but has not been scheduled for hearing. So it looks like that bill is not moving forward. That's the one you might recall that would be very detrimental to us and what we're trying to do, deliver water across two or more county lines. So it does look like that bill is going to be left stranded and never get a hearing in that committee. Of course, we'll keep an eye out if for some reason that changes and be ready to run down and testify and work up our support on that. So there's a whole lot of bills related to open government, open meetings. We're still trying to wait, and they're just starting to have some hearings to figure out which one of those is really going to move forward so we can jump on and support the right bill there. And then, of course, just a whole bunch of other bills related to water, groundwater, excuse me. And as I mentioned, I believe at the board meeting, just a ton of bills related to oversight of the PUC and ERCOT and that type of effort. So things that we're tangentially affected by, but we really don't have a direct dog in most of that hunt as what we do day in and day out. So with that, I'll try and answer any questions that anybody has.
Graham, it does not sound like I'm hearing any. All right, thank you. Let's move us on to number F5 then, which is the update on all the stuff. Why do you still giggle? I've done that for like 10 years.
I don't know. It makes me laugh every time, though. All the stuff. So Gonzales District held a meeting last night. As you will recall, several years ago, we entered into an agreement to install monitoring wells. It was actually a requirement we had built into our permit, and then we combined with all the other entities that are purveyors out of the district to install those monitoring wells. That work has been complete. I think we initially, based on what was required in all our permits, thought there's going to be 19 of them. There ended up being 13 of them, so a few less. So they have an excess pot of money, about $300,000 that's left over from that effort. So they're going through discussions now about how to and when to return that money proportionally to each entity. There was a question that came up last night by one of the board members about holding back some of that money to deal with maintenance of those monitoring wells in that effort. That was expressly excluded from the agreement. It said the district would handle that out of their own funding and not be part of this fund. So their attorney was not on the call last night, so he wasn't able to weigh in. They're supposed to be doing their homework and get back. So I expect this is something that we'll have as a topic at the May Gonzales meeting and something we'll weigh in where, you know, we would really like to see all of the funds returned in accordance with what the agreement spells out, but there's really little leeway in doing what one of the board members was asking to do. So we'll continue to monitor that and as we learn more, be back in touch with you on that. See, otherwise, I think GMA 13 is probably the other item worth hitting. They are scheduled to meet on Friday the 23rd. And it looks like the GMA is going to adopt the latest round of desired future conditions for all the aquifers, including Carrizo Wilcox. They are increasing the drawdown over the next 10-year period in accordance with the models. And so it includes all of everybody that's got permits, all of our pumpage into those models. And so I think we're in really good shape in terms of what's being recommended for the desired future conditions this time around at GMA 13. So happy to say that's been a relatively smooth process this time around as compared to what it was 10, 12 years ago when we had to challenge those DFCs. And I believe that's all I have under this item.
Okay, any questions about the various updates? All right, executive director report.
I just have my usual items there of invoices we paid, change orders, et cetera. We will have our board meeting will be 2 weeks from today, April 28th. So that's all I've got under this item.
Okay. Committee member items.
I did want to bring one item up if I could.
Yeah, you have the floor, Tom. Go ahead.
So in relation to the plant construction and commissioning of the plant, and I know that's, you know, a long, long time off yet, but, you know, I think we need to probably give consideration to at what point we start talking about how we intend to operate, you know, the plant and the pumping stations. You know, there's going to be opportunities when that plant is commissioned and when those systems are installed and the instrumentation and controls are installed and programmed, that would be very advantageous to have, you know, operating staff available to learn from the manufacturers and various vendors, you know, and programmers of that equipment at that point in time. And that's an opportunity you really only get when they construct, you know, new additions to plants or plants, you know, in their entirety. And, you know, I don't think we've really talked about, you know, I know we've talked in general about the various options we may have for operations, but I don't think we've actually looked at the timelines to make those kinds of decisions in light of whether we want to have that kind of capacity to have somebody present for, you know, some of that opportunity in relation to the plant, so, and the booster stations. So I just wanted to kind of throw that out there so that we could maybe have some thought as to what time frames might be appropriate to approaching those operational decisions.
I think that's an excellent idea, Tom. We had been working through some of that as we look at when commissioning will occur, and if we were to operate the plant, when we would want a staff to meet exactly as you mentioned. As we're bringing on those systems, that's the best time to learn from the vendors and directly how to operate those and make the most beneficial use out of each system. So I projected this summer we're going to spend some time in conjunction with our budget and looking at the staffing, and then also we need to make some firm decisions on whether or not we want an outside entity to be considered for operations of the plant or not, whether or not we want to look at 24/7 operations or you know, part-time operations until we grow to a certain point. So I think there's lots of key decisions that I was going to bring up here as we work through the summer to hopefully get resolution here by the first part of fall. And that way that would give us, I think, about 18 months until we'd really start looking to bring on more of those folks as we start to wrap up the construction and move into the commissioning of the various systems.
I think that will also drive the decision then on when you may need a facility to house those people.
Yeah, that could be part of it, certainly, or what we do for facilities, you know, temporary or otherwise, depending on what the options look like.
Well, construction won't be getting cheaper going forward, it would appear, so waiting may not save us money.
All right. Do we need executive session? I didn't hear anything triggered in our conversations, but we may have some land stuff.
No, I actually do not have anything for executive session today.
Okay. Well, that brings us to the end of the agenda. So, ladies and gentlemen, we are adjourned. Thank you for all being here. Yep.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And thank you so much.
David, I'll give you a call here in a few minutes if I can.